This ministry's not going anywhere. I got nothing new. What's on your mind? Unless you want an introductory comment, I'm sure I could come up with one. But it would be bullshit.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves, yeah.
It seems to like to eat the shit out. It's like you have to throw in the towel. There has to be TKO or... some kind of serious towel throwing, or you're just like, I just can't. Okay.
Yeah.
It will just beat you up in any direction possible. Until
yeah. It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and you always lose.
Oh. I know. But not even like it, like, you know, it's like, right, you're like, I'm obviously not winning, but I'm not losing. It's just. I'm definitely not winning. You know what I mean?
Right.
How do you know you're not winning?
It's just too arbitrary. Like, there is no, yeah, there's no winning, there's no losing. The whole thing's just...
Yeah.
One, you know, I mean, in a day I could win or lose, I don't know, 80 different times in a million different ways.
Yeah.
While being twisted like a pretzel and, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, ah...
I seem to not be able to screw up my job no matter what. You know, actually, it's just sort of like...
And you keep trying.
It's comical. I didn't do something, and it sounded like they were going to, like, pull something that I needed to do my job.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do it. And
yeah.
I clunked it twice, and in the end, they were like, no, as it turns out, he didn't need that. I'm like...
Yeah.
I can, like, flunk the test twice, and
wow.
As it turns out, I didn't need it.
It's like Jeff Bridges in that movie when the airplane went down.
Exactly. Fearless. I love that.
Was that it?
Fearless.
Right. And he could even eat strawberries, right?
Yep. That yeah. Was such a thing. He had been allergic or something.
Ah, lethally allergic to them, yeah.
Yeah. When he came down from the zoo, he couldn't eat strawberries.
So that's what you got.
I think I do. And like a day will, like, I'll think I can't do this another minute and I can't bear to make it through this day. Fuck it, I'm just leaving. And
yeah, sure.
I use my vacation and then stuff comes up and it's... pulls me through the day and I finish out my week. I don't know how this happened.
Right. Yeah, well, everything's running like that, isn't it?
It is.
The whole show is running like that.
It is.
Yeah.
The only way I can lose is if I don't think it should be the way it seems to be.
Well, you lose when you have the slightest hint of an idea.
Yeah.
That's when you lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you go immediately into an arbitrary, exotic, virtual reality that includes self,
you're done.
You
start to tell a lot of stories about it. You start to go into the future. I've had some very interesting conversations lately, and the only thing I know is that it's coming through me. That's all I know. I can't know anything beyond it. All I know is just what seems to be coming through. Like,
yeah. Right.
You know you're screwed when you start to watch yourself to tell, like, sort of, to figure out maybe what the answer is because you don't know. And you're supposed to be running this show.
Well, that's the life coach. You're looking for some kind of authority. Because you kind of realize you don't have any. I don't have any authority, and you're fond of being done with authority, which that's a big day. When you're fond of being done with authority, that's a very big day. But you can say there's still the habit of looking to consciousness, to your own mind, to your own imagination, to your own conditioning, or perhaps to the authority of others, so that someone will kindly tell us what the fuck is going on.
Well, with others, it's almost like I want to apologize, like, and explain or something. Like, really, if I could do this differently, maybe I would. But I don't know. Like, this is all I got.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be, it doesn't make sense to your normal person.
Yeah, you're Gumby without wires. Yeah, so you can't even hold your arms like that because you don't have any wires. You just.
I can enjoy what's here, that's for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Enjoy it a lot.
Yes. Why not? Yeah. Yep. There's nothing wrong with enjoyment.
think we need to talk about the Dora Mater a little bit.
The Dora Mater. Definitely.
Well, so I remember what I was thinking about one of the
screens. The Loca thing.
Do you remember that? What was that? Sitta Loca.
Sitta Loca.
Yeah. The that's Sid Harrison's brother.
Yeah.
It's like living La Vida Loca.
Right? Oh, right.
But no, what is Sitta Loca?
What is it? That's a strange sexual act.
Well, in the Kashmiri tradition, which was you could say kind of popularized and commercialized by Muktananda and Shiv Vilasananda, his protege, who was ruthless. That's, you know, Siddha, S-Y-D-H-A, or whatever, Siddha Yoga.
Oh, like Siddha Yoga.
Yeah, so Siddha, you know, Siddha is...
like a city?
The root's the same, right? You know?
Yeah, the root's
right. They used to call those practitioners Siddha Yogis, right? That whole kind of a Kashmiri thing. But in the hands of Nityananda, Siddha Yoga, or Siddha Loka, made a certain kind of sense. Because he was, you know, a truly transcendent human, demonstrably transcendent human. You know, you're like, this is not human. I don't know what this is. Take a knee, shut the fuck up. But, you know, as that kind of pristine demonstration passed through the hands of Muktananda and then his, you know, those that followed, then it became, you know, absurdly commercialized. And of course, the excuse is always, we'll commercialize it, you know, so that the West, because that's their appetite. You're like, no, no, you're commercializing it to, you know, fill your own.
And that's why Ricky Martin wrote that song.
That's right, La Vida Loca. That's why he wrote the song. He was a devotee, I think, of Shiv Vilasananda, as was John Denver, who died in an accidental plane crash, probably under the influence of alcohol or something. It all comes about.
You gotta hire those alcoholic
pilots. No. Sometimes they can get you out of a pinch, but.
Depends on Washington.
That's right.
Yeah.
It worked that day.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's right. It worked that day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, inhabiting experience as self is the default, you could say default condition, the default hysteria, occupying experience as self. That's what creates and suggests the world. And that's what all the fuss is about. Occupying experience, the myth, the nature, the texture, the ruminating nature of experience, occupying it as self or from the vantage point of self, that's what creates the world. Otherwise, there's no world.
But you wonder, like, how people would have, like, memories of being a baby, because you wouldn't have the verbal skills, so there would be no one there to articulate it in words to encode it into memory.
Nice, well, fun, yeah. But the texture is there, right?
Yeah, I guess
the imprint,
there.
The texture, the imprint, right, of like, conscious contact is there. And that cellular engagement, you could say, is reminisced down the road as who knows what, right? An event, an experience, something happened to me, even though the infant may have indeed been pre-verbal.
Yeah.
And, you know, later on, the verbal skills were able, as we are able, to articulate apparent meaning through barking noises.
Yeah.
Without, so if you have a memory, even a pre-verbal memory, you can turn that into an event with, you know, with no hesitation.
And don't they, aren't there some beliefs too? I mean, I know this is not our focus here, but like, you know, you come in and you have a memory of a past life or something.
Yeah,
like
past
that,
life, right. Sure.
A certain age and then you lose that or something.
Okay, I mean, past life researchers, you know, I mean, people make a living doing past life regression,
like
right?
The kid who remembers something very specific.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, hopefully that's not, I mean, it's done for entertainment purposes or, you know, it's sold as a healing device.
Well, kids do, like, little kids do say weird things that you're like, how do you know that?
Yes, right. Yeah.
You pick it up on the internet.
Well, it's funny. We might think that knowledge is, you know, individualized or learned or acquired, and then stored. However, it's stored in the what would you call them? The cubby holes that define your experience.
Yeah.
Well, nobody knows what that is.
And here we always come up with these vocabulary words we didn't know we knew. So
yeah,
obviously that's not true, right?
Yeah. Right. So there is that, you know, thanks to Rupert Sheldrake's contribution of, you know, a morphic resonant reality underlying what we think is the reality of willful endeavor. That knowledge is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, why did Bruno, back in the, whenever that was, you know, the 1600s or something, when, you know, Neil Donald Tyson, whatever his name is, right, started re-up the So Bruno had the revelation of the Hubble deep field. He saw, don't ask me how, you know, what it took us so many centuries or, you know, years later for the Hubble deep field on a, you know, a square inch of sky to see that it was just jam-packed with more universes than you could have counted or put on the head of a pin. And he was like, he saw that, you know, and he spoke about it. He said, no, it's just universes upon universes upon universes and has no end. And that's what, you know, the creation is. I mean, he went right off the flat planet thing and the, you know, Earth centrism thing. And he went right into, you know, let's say the sun as a solar vortex for this planetary, you know, or solar system. And then, you know, woof, went right out. And they, you know, they eventually killed him. It was like, that was too much. Well, yeah, no, he wouldn't, yeah. Well, after you've seen that, you're telling everybody, you know. Yeah.
You're like, we're going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like making out with Morgan Fairchild. You're going to tell everybody.
You're dating yourself.
I know. I could go earlier.
I thought about that situation. Like, don't talk about anything related.
We saw, what movie did we see? Oh, this is the Nice Guys movie, you know, kind of a film noir with Russell Crowe and Mickey Mouse, the Mickey Mouse guy. And there was an actress in that film that I kind of recognized but didn't recognize, and after the movie Beth told me it was who's the gal in 9 1/2 weeks?
Oh, Kim Basinger.
It was Kim Basinger.
Yeah.
And I was like, I missed it.
She like got that old looking?
No, she was whoever was on the screen was lovely and attractive and engaging, but it just made no connection at all. Yeah. That was kind of funny.
She was
in the hole in the floor. That was a good film. That was with Jeff Bridges too.
I don't know that I saw one.
That was familiar. It was cool.
Yeah. What was it about?
Their marriage fell apart because one of their children was injured or lost their life in a car accident in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
So it was this incredible, cool, weird tension. And he hires some young kid to help him as a writer or something, and to kind of be a, you know, a companion for her or a boy toy or God knows what. So yeah, let's just all that.
That
was cool stuff. Yeah. Sure, yeah, thanks. If your only choice is an apple, you may as well have it.
When you're on snacks, you can use to be on snacks. It's a problem now. She's just apples.
Oh, here we are. Nice song, eating the apple. A forbidden apple. Now we're screwed.
Cleaned it up. Hard. Pink
We become in, you could say, intoxicated with the mirage of possessing magical powers. And we want to make shit better, feel things differently, occupy our experience in a more profound or pleasing way. Make sure that we're chock full of novelty. And you know, willpower and decision making that we can optimize. And that's a big fat lie.
Yeah, we're like really messing with the publishing industry.
I know. Good work.
It's kind of fun to go belly up and just enjoy the ride. It is much better. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
But it can seemingly get hairy sometimes, but you just gotta breathe. Realize nothing to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you could pull that off.
Good luck, man. Whatever adrenaline is,
right,
or getting excited about something, or whatever it is,
mm-hmm,
I don't know. But that's a powerful drug, whatever that is. And when it gets hold of you, I mean, I don't know, right? And whatever it is, it's just obvious to see that, like, when kind of transmutation and consciousness, whatever it is, comes in regardless of whether you want it there or not. Completely on its own.
Yeah.
There's no...
That's right.
You know, you do whatever you do to manage it, I guess.
That's right. Like, do whatever you do, and then you give yourself advice afterwards.
And then you give yourself advice, yeah, I could have done it better or worse. Or next time you'll do it better to yourself.
Yeah.
It's always bad.
Yeah.
If
you could come up with you know, a winning strategy that would obey you, then deploy it. Good luck. Yeah. And the myth of pursuing or deploying a winning strategy is merely the continuity of more suffering, more confusion.
Well, I think you see very clearly, you begin to see very clearly that that's not actually what you want. So that kind of dissipates in some weird way.
Well, this is curious. You know, when what we think we want is fucked.
Yeah, it's bad.
And what we place incredible confidence in what we think we want, whether it's amelioration from shit that's going south, or something that, you know, will feed us and make us happier, better, more secure, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But if you take a look at what it is you think you want, and that impulse coming out of the snake pit of conditioning that you're made up of, you're like, wait, don't ask me what I want.
Let's back away slowly and try this in sobriety first, so we can even begin to assess what we might want.
Yeah, back away slowly with your back toward the door and run out of there. Yeah. I mean, you can see the engine of so much seeking, casual and, you know, not so casual seeking, or pleasure seeking, or spiritual seeking. It's all the same. It doesn't matter, right?
The desire to be free and the desire to have, right?
Yeah.
None of us are more adverse.
Yes.
Kind of,
it's dry. Well, early on, we associate the desire to have as a vehicle for being free. Right? That's, you know, you want to satisfy that, that, you know, kind of deep impulse for not self. That deep, semi, if not unconscious, impulse for not self. But you're not aware of not self quite yet. So from the vantage point of self, you want what it is you think you want, which will approximate cessation. And that's usually through accumulation.
So shopping.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Running the world, you know, if you've got that kind of, if you come from that kind of family.
I said we should go shopping.
Yeah, go shopping.
Cool. Shopping. So you get drugs.
Yeah.
Shopping for drugs, shopping for clothes. Whatever.
Yeah. Hassle avoidance is, that's good too. Thank you. Hassle avoidance is another good one.
The fail takes.
Well, what's anyone looking for? You know, you go see Wayne Dyer, or you go see Byron Katie, or you go see Kaylee Marino, or you go see, come to this fucking talk. You know, I'm like, yeah? What? What? Really? What?
What is it about your consciousness that jumps to things that seem to be recalled as pleasing? And then, like this is pleasing. I love hanging out with this group. It's like, my mind will go, oh, thank God, I'm going to Nice Guy after. Like,
yeah.
I just want to go touch it. Just like in my regular day, like, oh, I got something good to touch in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Real, but it seems kind of comforting.
Sure. That's right.
And beside myself, I'm not getting the emails. That's like, fuck.
No.
I got to get plugged back in. I to get the shakes. I almost called you today.
Oh, my God. We'll have to shut it down just so you don't miss anything.
Hiatus. Not cool.
I'm going to Google search.
No, I'm not. Oh.
No. The misery that we don't see is the misery of presumption and confidence that we have about what we might refer to as reality. That's the suffering. We have presumptive confidence about what we refer to as reality. And now we're going to walk through it, swim through it, operate through it as self. As a, you know, physical being with an opposable thumb, a neocortex, and the great good fortune of self-will, self-determinism. And you're done. That's it. You're done.
Landlord guy asked me why I thought everyone was so miserable. That would have been a great answer.
No.
I didn't really have the...
Really, it's like, I don't know.
Someone else.
Yeah, why do you think everyone's so miserable?
Misappropriation.
Misappropriation of consciousness. That's a good one.
Well,
it's a very
good one.
Bunions.
Nice.
Yeah, bunions.
If you could ask the question, what is it that's actually happening? What is actually happening? What? And of course, you know, you could spend the rest of your life reciting all the things you've heard up to this point. And you could spend the rest of your life adding new ideas and conclusions about what it is that's happening, why it means what it means to you, and what you plan on doing or not doing about it to optimize your happiness, joy, ascension, spiritual longing. I don't know. Once you get trapped in the original presumption that something is happening, now you're fucked. Because you're going to figure out, with no effort, what it is that's happening. You've got answers for what it is that's happening. You'll make up imaginary solutions and strategies to how you can participate in what it is that you think is happening. But you're done. I mean, that's it.
It's like playing an imaginary game with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just claymation, and you ran out of film a long time ago.
There's no nothing.
Yeah. So being, you know, unadulterated being, this is unadulterated being. Yeah, it's not missing anything. Not missing anything. It doesn't have a conclusion or a storyline. It's not relying on particle physics or relativity. It's just not. But the moment there's self, which is the, you know, impersonal, involuntary presentation of individuation, then you're just loaded with stories and explanations and the puffery of your lovely persona. You know, and the things that turn you on or don't turn you on. That's it. I mean, it's a bacterium. You know, it's like mycelium. Humans on the surface of the earth is like a mycelium. It just looks very dynamic because it's highly pixelated and you can build machines that can make machines that can make machines. You know, so you're like, well, yeah, we can...
Stop, you're a machine, say that.
Yeah, you can turn yourself into a machine. That's right. You can go to Mars. I don't know if you'll make it, but you can. But you can. You can leave any day now.
Not a good location.
Yeah, really. Location, location, location.
Not that's where you want to go.
No.
That would be going backwards, I think.
Right. The investment, the reflexive investment that we place in either wanting to ameliorate suffering or contributing to a better way of being in the future, that's it. We're done.
How do you see that you never were, though?
How do you see it?
Yeah.
That you never were?
Yeah.
That's a fun
never
one.
Never were what?
Yeah.
Never were anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look at what it is that you rely upon. Right, the effulgence that appears in and as experience. What is it that you rely upon to convince yourself that you are presently someone or that you've been somewhere, someone? What are you relying upon?
Multiple, you know, holistic
yeah.
Visions of
mm-hmm.
vision and auditory and,
yep.
you know,
yep.
proprioception. You know,
uh-huh, that's right.
Original.
Yep.
Attention-seeking, mm-hmm. you know, hallucination.
Yep. Right, and all of that.
Very convincing.
And all of that is not the byproduct of a sense of self, nor is it contributory to what we're calling a sense of self. They're the same.
Say that again.
They're the same.
Hot.
Yeah. Yeah. The brain cells work a little slower when it's hot.
I sweat, therefore I am.
Yeah, I sweat, therefore I am. You know, the Buddhists and other silly groups like that, will, you know, they try to proclaim that they know why there is dukkha, right, or suffering, samsara, right? But they don't. They don't know. They can't know. It's not possible. Because this isn't causal. Experience, present experience, is not causal. It's not the it's not the consequence of anything. Certainly not the Big Bang.
I know we've been here before, but karma is not the consequence of anything. It's
no.
Like a random number generator or something.
No, that's too much.
That's too much.
Yeah, that's too much. You see, this has to become something.
Your karma.
Yeah, this has to become something in order to, you know, benefit benefit from the notion of karma.
Well, we talk in those terms sometimes, or somebody's karma.
We're absurd. We'll talk in any terms. Yeah, don't look to us for anything. In terms of, you know, reliable terms, forget that shit.
Just a sort of. I hate to say it's just happening, but
if it is, it is. You know,
well,
she doesn't. She doesn't have a.
You know, come on. You have to be like, it's just happening.
She doesn't have a trademark on it's just happening. You can use it too.
You can't just say it like in Italian. You know, that's no.
Yeah, you can say it in Italian with using your hands.
Yeah, you can do it like. Yeah. It's just happening.
That's right.
But
you see, that it's funny that it's just happening is, you know, it's too late, right? It's just happening, again, means suggests what? What does it suggest? That this, whatever this is just happening. Okay. It's not that helpful. It's not that helpful.
Pure myth, right? So...
Go under. Karma's like, you know, that's like total fucking myth. That's a pure myth.
Yeah.
Bring it in. We're so close that here's present experience, irrefutable as it may be. Present experience, irrefutable as it may be. What the fuck? It's myth, or anything that's felt or said about it, or any vehicle to operate in it from the point of view of, call it, you know, personal aggrandizement of one kind of another, is all myth. So the consciousness itself is made of delusion. Forget about karma, dharma, the bodhisattva vows. That's like, what, are you kidding me? You know, that shit you buy at a county fair after you throw a ring over a rabbit's, you know, a fuzzy bear's head. It's nothing.
Consciousness is made of delusion.
Consciousness is made of delusion. Yeah.
Every day,
paper.
But it does seem like we're here.
Well, you can report that way, but if you look at what you're really presuming to say, you don't really know. And so it kind of makes sense that we're here. But that may not be true.
Well, it just seems like, okay, if it's a giant hallucination, it's one we take very seriously.
Well, okay. So that's right. That's right. Experiencing is...
I mean, we still like to turn on our TV, even though we know there's nothing there. You know, like...
Well, sure, you like to get up in the morning and, you know, spruce it up. Go out there and make a living.
Just come in front of the slog.
Yeah, it's a total slog, yeah.
I'm wearing a tie-dye shirt and just try to get out the door. But
really? Really? Shouldn't I light up? Nah. Well, yeah, maybe, but no. Anyway. But it's morning. Well, fuck it. Fuck it, yeah. I'll go out for breakfast. It'll be great. It'll be great.
And then, like, halfway through breakfast, you're going to stay over yet. I think I need to get one.
It's going good for a minute. What was it, if you did, in one of the writings I was reading, it was like if you're walking along the beach and a bottle rolls in at your feet and there's a genie in it and you rub it and he pops out, the minute you have any faith that you actually want something, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah. Throw the bottle back in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fucking genie. Anybody want this? Anybody? I'm going once, going twice. See you, pal. Yeah.
Well, it's food. You like food.
Well, banquet for 20.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeannie. Uh-huh. As ephemera, emptiness masquerading as ephemera, that's what you are. Emptiness masquerading as ephemera. Consciousness is a ruse. But this, you could say, clumsy elocution of what might look like freedom has no value to you. That's why it's, you know, not often
there's no value pursued. To the human framework of
yeah.
Whatever the current societal structure is.
That's why it's not often pursued or cultivated.
Well, you know, it's something that can't be articulated in any way.
Well, you can articulate it. That's all that we're doing is articulating it. Yeah, see, be careful that it's, you know, right, what's possible and what's not possible. I mean, yeah, you can't bring any definitive body of metaphor to turn the engine of ephemera into an object.
Okay, kids, no.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Well, you can't, like, articulate what cessation is, right?
No.
So how could it be a thing to want?
Oh, good question. Don't know. Nirsagadatta said that the longing for cessation or realization, call it what you will, springs forth from the semi or unconscious demonstration of deep sleep.
I know I love to sleep.
But, you know, Nirsagadatta, like everybody else, was a hack. You know, just throwing a bunch of ideas around, you know, spiritual ideas and Sanskrit terminology and a lot of, you know, demonstration to excite people. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then you end up with generations of people that have read I Am That 6 times, cover to cover.
I have lesson plans spoken from the
experience. Yeah. Then you know, Nirsagadatta gets created in the minds of the students or the devotees or the Neo-Advaitists as, you know, the bee's knees.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We turn everything into one or other form of celebrity.
Well, it's kind of, it's so weird, too, because you're only focusing on, like, you know, I mean, it's a felt sense, or Sagadatta, obviously, but what gets carried over seems to be just the language and the wording, and, you know, it's an
arbitrary,
it's like, you don't see everyone walking around smoking as many beanies as possible and yelling at people just to see if they can inhabit whatever it was, you know, they're only, like, a very small, like, bizarre, like, oh, just read this book. Like, you'd be better off smoking BBs and inhabiting some kind of bizarre energy and trying to channel their saga, you know,
probably.
And yelling at people.
Probably better off,
just reading some kind of...
Well, consciousness is fond of co-opting itself. So it's capable of turning everything, you know, the ephemera that's not made of anything, turning everything into an object. So experience becomes an object, and, you know, the language, body of work of a sage becomes an object. Your present experience becomes an object. Your longing for ascension is an object. The things that frustrate you, that may frustrate you between here and then, is an object. And so you're under the influence of the fundamental ruse of consciousness, thinking that this is about something, that you are actually corporeal, and that the duration of your life and the way that it's lived makes a difference. I mean, that's the loyalty that we have. That's the kind of loyalty that we have. You know, my health, my stuff, my reputation, people that like me, fuck the ones that don't. You know, whatever. I mean, then you see, you know, this kind of carried away narcissism on a grand scale, let's say, during our presidential election cycle. This is all the surreal, you know, politics of exploitation. And then we get all ripped up, you know. It's just like how many people watched O.J. Simpson drive down the 405, you know.
Well, they did those little studies during his thing, you know, the Noetic Sciences or something, and they put some kind of weird, there was an energy associated with the amount of people watching and focused on that trial that actually produced an energy.
Absolutely.
That was verifiable, whatever it is that they consider to be verifiable.
The TM people have been yapping about that shit forever.
Yeah.
Right? Full moon meditations, the crime rate goes down, you know, floating off your cushion, spending a lot of money on transcendental meditation, going to the university in Iowa, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so we think, oh, yeah, we do have magical powers. We can co-create with, you know, the majesty of creation and make things better.
Well, you can, I don't know what is better, but you can definitely mess with it. You can have fun with it. You can play with it.
Why not?
I've been at Pebble Camp a lot and been there to witness some really cool stuff. Like, palpable, like, holy shit. It's an interesting thing.
Everything is like that.
With a group that's big enough and interested in playing, it's kind of fun.
That's right, yeah. Hey, Marco Polo.
everything
yeah, I mean, this experience is pretty dull, it's too warm in here, blah blah blah, but this is like, whoa, it's off the charts. Experiencing is off the charts. It's completely inebriating. We dull it down, or you could say it dulls itself down as the miracle of ephemera gets filtered through the lens of personality, of memory, of individuation.
A light, and then a light person can enjoy equally like a great concert of the Beatles versus, like, Styx. You know what I mean? They're going to have preferences.
Why not?
But it's like food. If you eat the same stuff all the time, you get tired.
It's really good food. If you have some people have you every day.
Yeah. Well,
people are adamant about eating the same thing every day.
What occurs in the miracle field of consciousness and its demonstration, what we refer to as my life experiencing, is it can do anything it wants. It can get bored and not get bored, and it can be realized and not realized, and it can, you know, prefer to go, it could go see Paul McCartney instead of going to see Justin Hayward.
Whip itself.
It can whip itself.
Adrenaline kind of.
It can whip itself.
Yeah, but there's endorphins with that, I'm sure. You know, like there's probably more endorphins you get.
Everything goes down.
Always endorphins.
There's always endorphins. when there's no endorphins, the maggots are like,
yeah.
I smell something.
Knocking on your door.
They're like, over this way. No endorphins.
Where are the maggots?
Big lump of flesh. No endorphins. Let's go. Let's get that shit.
I don't get the endorphins sort of like a puppet. Brain has about 100 different endorphin systems. And then there is the pulling down of life stress. We're there, all that.
Yeah.
And so, and there's sort of a miracle of all the endorphins time out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that generates a certain kind of balance. And in certain cases, of course, people will somehow maneuver themselves into where they rely on only a very small number of endorphins. And then you know you're addicted.
I see. Right.
At least that's the kind of model I have in my brain.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
There's the sexual endorphins, there's the musical endorphins, there's the spiritual endorphins, there's the...
There's even endorphins for abstract thinking.
Sunshine
really?
Endorphins.
Otherwise, we wouldn't do it.
Abstract thinking.
That's right. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. That's right. That's right.
Oh, just for the fun of it.
Yes.
How would you define consciousness?
Any way you want. You know, you bring anything, I mean, this is what you could say mind does, right? Self-referential, loquacious mind, ruminating mind, creates metaphoric appraisals of actuality and then calls it a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're fucked because you're living in under the influence of the virtuality of metaphoric appraisal. Mm-hmm. Whereas presence or the notion of presence is just this. Is just this. Wow, just this. And you are not living under the influence. You're not being bullied by the reflex of metaphoric appraisal.
Bullied is a good word.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're bullied. That's right.
Well, we feel kind of bullied by consciousness as a disparate entity in some sense.
Yes.
You know, if you're a disparate creature, it's very easy to feel kind of just bullied and attacked at every, you know, because it's constant. Yep. It's always in your face, just coming at you. If that's how you are framing it, then it's like a constant barrage.
Mm-hmm.
That's not actually what's going on.
Yeah, it needn't be.
You don't have to just feel like this is just pushing you around. It's not...
Yeah, right. We always, you know, reflexively we're going in search of, you're taking your consciousness out for a ride because you are consciousness. You are the receiving plenum of experience. And it's a thrill. It's fun, you know. It's just like, hey.
It's a 3D movie.
Yeah, you're just, you know, you're lit up. You're completely lit up. You're on the receiving end of this, you know, miraculous demonstration. So you... has this kind of, you know, reflex or habit to take what you imagine is your consciousness out for a spin. And that's what we do, let's say, in spiritual pursuit. I'm taking my consciousness out for a spin. So I'll do Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, I'll do mindfulness, I'll do yoga, I'll do Bhastrika, I'll do Tantra, right? I'll do Peter Brown, I'll do, you know, whatever the fuck Paul Herman talks about, and I still can't figure that shit out. So you see, you're taking yourself out for a spin. You love to take yourself out for a spin. And your Sagadatta, you know, not to quote him too much, said you love yourself. Face it, you love yourself. You're crazy about yourself.
Yep.
You're just crazy about being. You are so in love with being. And then we're tortured by all that appears to be unsavory in our experience. All the apprehension and anxiety and... you know, distractibility.
Isn't it better just saying, okay, I'm anxious, I'm distractible, I'm bored, I'm whatever, and it's just like, okay.
Well, again, that can, you know, if that response to unsavory, right, emotivity or unsavory experience appearing keeps you, let's say, relaxed, neutral, not indulgent, not engaged, non-reactive, then, you know, that's what they will sell at Insight Meditation Society. Do Vipassana, do some more, do some more, do some more, and then you'll see how you can, you know, return to the equanimous neutrality rather than, you could say, getting embroiled in the fantasy of whatever fantasy you're turned on by. And that's what's sold there, right? That's what's sold. They're not selling liberation there. They can't sell liberation there because they're just too stupid. You know, they're too stupid. They're too indulgent. They're too happy being Buddhists to really make any progress when it comes to liberation. So all they can really sell is the happiness quotient that accompanies, you know, mindfulness practice.
How to improve your
less important.
That's right. How to improve your dream through mindfulness.
So let's be an advocate here.
I don't know. I don't know.
And I get that it's not the How to Improve Your Dream Sangha, that's for sure.
Right.
But what the hell it is, I can't tell.
Don't know. You don't know. You don't know what is present or how what is present will reveal itself to you as you slowly discover or experiment with not being a product of it.
Really have a goalless night sky sangha?
Goalless?
Yeah.
Yeah, no goals.
No goals.
Well, sure. There's no real you know, competition between goallessness, which is this, and making an appointment to shown with goallessness. You know, they're not really mutually exclusive.
It's a relief to sit down and let's improve the dream.
It totally is.
I don't necessarily feel like I have a goal for everything.
Right.
I mean, I guess.
During your track record, that's a good thing. Unless you want to tell us all about the shit that you've accomplished so far in your life, we're all. Oh, really? You accomplished some shit?
The first group I created.
That's for sure.
My own passion.
That's for sure. It's, you know, you
never won any awards, so I can tell you that.
we'll make you one.
Lose your award, nice guy, son.
Yeah, we'll get you an award.
We'll get you a plaque.
We don't want you to die without having at least one award.
That would be an honor in this group.
Never won any
awards. When you are willing, capable, or invited to see that what you bring to the table is a fraud, something happens. Otherwise, you're going to stay in the loop of trying to tempt and satisfy the fraud of you.
At the beginning of that, this unmistakable recognition of the hypocrisy that shows up all the time is like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like right in your face. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah. So bad.
I'm not in jail.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Even if the pocket's shut so I stay out of trouble, all that is just hiding from it, you know? It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then trying to apologize for it. You're like, no, I think I'll skip that too.
You take yourself as experiencing or the experiencer of that which is experienced, you take it seriously enough, then you're under the influence of durability of self, continuity and durability of self. You got it going on. You know, and you want to make sure there's some really nice shit in your closet. You're fucked. But that's the default, you know, that's the default nature of what we call conformist reality. Or it's not that common, even amongst dual circles, for aspirants to get a sniff of cessation. Without effort, without consequence, without strategy.
There's a sneaking suspicion that I'm totally free.
Yeah, could be. Could be the case.
Not a thing to resist, not a thing to worry about, just...
Yeah. Follow the thread of loyalty that, you know, that one, what do we cling to, right? Some stuff, you know, your house burns down, all your belongings are gone, you can't cling to that shit anymore. I mean, it can ruin your life or not, but, you know, all externals are gone, right? So there's no clinging in the external world of things and belongings and appointments and, you know, reputation or money. Just fuck it. Just strip it all away.
Just search for food.
Even that, you could say. Or let's say there's enough food so you don't have to make it a big issue, right? Like the dolphins, you know, they 23 hours a day. In 1 hour, they're like, you know, they pick up some fish. Right? The other 23, it's like, let's fuck around. Yeah, Bonnie, let's do it. Right? It's like, nah, maybe it's time to get some fish. Okay, let's eat some fish. We'll make some bubbles and some circles, and we'll herd them together. Yeah, let's play again. Okay. Hide and seek. It's a big ocean. So you have no, there's no loyalty to the things of the world, you and the world. There's no loyalty. You needn't have any loyalty there at all. Okay, so what remains of you? You're not suffering from the psychiatric and spiritual and emotional projection of all the ways that you're at risk. What remains of you? Where's your loyalty? What could be taken from you? Right. My suggestion is you're going to find what we might refer to as consciousness, right? The irrefutability of experiencing and identification with the irrefutability of experiencing. That you're like, don't mess with that. Right?
Sort of peel away everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like...
That's right. Peel away all the external hallucinations that you feel that you have to be loyal to or that you suffer from.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's just strange.
If you suspend the part of the brain that says, am I safe?
Right.
Then you love everything.
Could be. Sounds like MDMA to me.
You get more new endorphins.
Yeah, that's right. From that model, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. If that model is releasing the stress and strain patterns of individuation, then you might have, you know, that kind of you're in love with everything because it turns out you might be everything, and so why not? And a new endorphin set can occur.
One of the definitions of love is the absence of fear.
Yeah, could be that.
Yeah. What about the facets of the diamond of enlightenment?
Yes.
How many are there?
as many as you can see, as many as you can steal. Yeah, it's never ending. Yeah. Now there's no, you know, being infinite, right? Means it's non-finite. So.
There's like the Cheeto facet of the diamond.
There's a Cheeto. That's right. When you're nothing at all masquerading as ephemera, you don't tend not to ask quantifiable questions. Because you're just done. You're toast.
Kind of not, yeah.
Yeah. And that is the revelation of the Diamond Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is the revelation. Just this.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. See, what happens is you don't take consciousness out of the garage, you know, fire up the Miata, and then, you know, go run in search of more experience, then... It just drops out. It drops out. The vacuity that can be felt and seen through the mystique of objects and subject is revealed. The vacuity is revealed. Right? Right here, right in the midst of subjects and objects and phenomena and space and time and the countless ways that experiencing demonstrates. This is the vacuity. This is the ceaseless and the formless, the nirvana and the cessation. Batman.
The visitation, I don't know.
And this feels different, at least in my crappy experience, as contrasted with how do I figure my shit out? Don't. Don't figure your shit out. That would be like, no, don't do that.
I challenge you to live as if there's nothing.
No.
Well, it's like even, yeah, it just doesn't, if you're, like, all the full spectrum is available, and there's no issues with any of it. It just shows up how it shows up. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
From a human, socio-political, whatever.
Yep.
That's just whatever you want to imagine that to be. That's cool. Which is fine, also.
Yep.
But it's just, like, whatever.
Yeah, the world has nothing to do with you.
No.
And consciousness has nothing to do with you. Fuck consciousness. But that's what we're in there. We're looking at this kind of corkscrew about where might you still possess some kind of loyalty, some kind of individuation, right? Some kind of pride or certainty. Having to do with the nature of present experience. Is there anything still lurking?
Plenty.
Okay.
Plenty of ownership still lurks.
Sure. I mean, it comes up, like with effortlessly. Yeah.
So effortlessly. Oh,
ownership is, it's like, boom.
Well, all of it, endorphin, whatever, all of it. Yeah. I mean, if this wants to launch you out of bed and for 3 days torment you, good luck.
That's right.
I don't know.
Oh, this will be over in about 3 days.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Tell you.
I know, yeah. It would be good, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how long is this fucker going to last?
Yeah.
This is a 6-month run. Oh, really?
Great.
Not even Mercury retrograde. Yeah. Sorry.
Mars is going to be around for a while, so just,
Yeah. How long is this going to run? Ooh, we don't want to know.
And hunker down. What?
Yeah, really. Light up and hunker down.
Mars just flew into space, so just,
bungle in the jungle. You don't do anything with your consciousness. You don't do anything about your consciousness. You just don't.
And you just, like, retreat it back to the hind brain and it kind of stops.
Well, that's the sensei yoga.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what John Klein was teaching. The sensei aspect of the Kashmiri system was, the recognition of Rigpa presence, mm-hmm. right? And the... gradual or sometimes rapid shift in, let's call it locus, so that the prana is relaxing from the agitation of the neocortex and resting in the hindbrain.
That's just like a little trick, right?
It can be practiced, it can be mastered.
It's like time out, like driving your mother around and she's really somatic or something. Like,
right.
It seems to help, but I don't think it has much beyond that. I mean, that...
Hard to know.
Yeah.
It's like you have to...
help. I mean, how do you know you don't want to just tell your mother to get the fuck out of the car and never talk to you again?
That's a good one.
I just know I don't want to go to prison, that's all.
Yeah. That's right, yeah, that's all I'm saying. I don't mind suffering so much. I just don't. I can't do prison right now.
They do say how long you're going to be in there.
Yeah, a long time. Right.
maybe I'll just turn into a happy lesbian and it'll be great. I, yeah.
Things are looking up.
Yeah, maybe you'll fall in love.
I think they serve lattes in there, but yeah.
Could sneak one of those Nespresso machines in.
Mm-hmm.
Will
you do that for me?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll bring you some espresso. Those little containers.
Just bring an espresso machine in one of your cavities, right?
That's what's going to convert her to lesbianism.
Taking it out of her.
I'm ramen in the black.
Isn't that okay? Turn that off.
Too late. It's not me either.
Gosh.
Really?
It's a sound! We can turn it off to you again. Take it off the internet.
Well, did we miss something? Sodomy? Some kind of scatological reference? Yeah, let's come back around then. If you lighten up from the myth of continuity, right? The myth of self. You can become a little more, ribald? How is it? Ribald.
Ribaldry.
You can dance in ribaldry.
I'm not sure if they say that. I think it's ribald.
Yeah.
You know, Felix Mark.
I would say ribald.
Ribald.
Yeah.
Body.
Body prurient.
Oh, I like it.
Pertaining to sensual delight.
Sneaking espresso machine in prison for
Friday. You know, like a heel. Canterbury Tales kind of.
Yeah.
You know.
The rabbit, you know. Yeah, it's being said so.
The call it the witnessing, which is even a little fuzzy, the witnessing of the demonstration of the irrefutability of experiencing is just this. But you see, it doesn't take you anywhere. It doesn't convey anything. It doesn't take you anywhere. You're just hanging out. You could say, you know, right at that curious non-point where the crystal isn't doing anything yet. Right? It's just kind of hanging out and the crystal isn't doing anything yet. And then on a dime, right, the crystal appears to make projects, right? There's projection. Consciousness is really projection. The receiving, you could say, the sensate felt reciprocity of projection. Objects appearing. Yeah. You know, bodily sensation. Subtle, ephemeral sensation. And then accompanied by, you know, the story of mind, the story of the day, the story of one's sentiment and beliefs and superstitions. You see, so it projects, and now you're adrift. You're adrift in, you know, virtually created realm that stinks of self. So it's kind of interesting, it's challenging to, let's say, relinquish the momentum that one has for healing, for, you know, getting it right, for clearing, closure, right? Messages from the, you know, ascended masters. right? It takes a while to release yourself from all of the promises that are made by all the snake oil salesmen and women that insist they have a message for you, right? If someone has a message for you, you can pretty much tell them to fuck off. Now, I got a message for you. Well, fuck you. Like right now. You see, because then you're hooked, right? You're hooked again as an object, as a creature, someone that's suffering, someone that could perhaps benefit from, right, messages from the other side, from the nether world. Or going to, you know, whatever guru you might go to, or whatever church you might go to, or whatever motor club you might go to.
Usually it's just like if you get a message, it's usually like, aha,
is this a motor club?
Like, yeah, it's a motor club.
Okay.
Is it remote? Truth by repetition?
Truth by repetition. Yeah. That's what happens. Truth by repetition of self. Yeah.
It does seem that there are, you know, like, there's cosmic trickstery kind of messages sometimes, you know?
Pretty much all the time.
Yeah. I mean, which would make it seem like then there is sort of a meaning, but I guess it's just part of the myth. Like it's,
yes, that's the crystal projecting.
Yeah.
Right, the crystal projecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you are in receipt of some kind of pattern recognition.
Yeah.
Right? You're in receipt of some kind of sensorial relationship, even if it's subtle, nonverbal sensorial relationship.
It's like the last
of that which is being which is appearing.
The hint sort of, I guess they get, you know, like,
yes.
There's like all this meaning, but then there's just like,
yeah,
you know, being all worked up and then looking and seeing a sign that says hidden dream driveway or something, you know, like those things happen.
Very playful.
It's fun, you know?
Absolutely, all the time. It's very playful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the more one is relaxed, again, not through effort or craving or, you know, vows, the more one is relaxed and, in a sense, you know, floating through the ephemera of the rhythm of your life or the so-called choices that you make or where you end up, or how you get there, as you're just kind of flowing through this dreamscape in a very relaxed manner, then it's everything is remarkably playful, animated, full of, you know, animus. Incredibly so. Everything is. And that's exhilarating. I mean, you know, that is, it's exhilarating. And you could say you become more subtle, right? It's like, yeah, wow, that's pretty fucking exhilarating. Everything is really talking like crazy. I'm not saying a word, and everything is yabbering.
More endorphins.
Yes, so it's, you could say from that again, from that model, it's another, you know, endorphin matrix, another endorphin field of certain kind of sensitivity. Now, this is shining with less, right, umbrage. Right, so it's shining in a different manner. Consciousness is shining in a different manner. And brain chemistry is, you know, you tell me, is it the symptom of that or is it the cause of that? Right? Don't know. So you begin to appreciate the nature of shining without objectifying. And that answers your question. That's how you discover that you never were.
It sure
becomes very obvious.
It becomes kind of obvious.
It's like the only dependable thing. It's the only thing that has any seeming continuity. It just seems it's always here. It's fun throughout the day to just sit and go.
Sure. What a gift. Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of irresistible. I do it a lot. Like,
oh, yeah. Yep. You just lean into the texture of being. Just lean in. You know, it's like rest your head. You know, your so-called karma certain turbulence, right, might untangle. You find yourself just untangled from turbulence of your own karmic proclivities, right? So in that way, the playful nature of creativity or creation, right, reveals other qualities of contact, conscious contact. You can't find yourself. You see that the, you know, the movement of self and the agenda of self is truly a kind of an aberrant contrivance. Aberrant contrivance. There's nothing right or wrong with it, with one's life or the way someone conducts themselves. You get acquainted with what it feels like to be released from consequence, released from time, released from individuation, released from memory or personal history. You feel it. Which has always been yourself. Now you're feeling yourself in a different, different way.
It's when you're feeling your experience in a different way.
Yeah, that's right.
Like free of all of the self-referencing around your experience.
Yes, that's right.
Which a lot, there's always a lot of self-referencing in what you're going to do next, or what you did that you screwed up. Or
that's the life coach. Before. That's the life coach that insists that you hired her. she's absolutely certain that you hired her and you have no memory of it.
The price is way too high.
Yeah. Excuse me, did I hire you? yes, you did. I don't remember it. Well.
You shouldn't have said that thing 20 years ago. You know?
Yeah, right.
Really dumb things.
Yeah. That's right. You made a deal with the devil and you just don't remember it. Yeah. Hmm. know, you wonder why the Buddha went entangled with everybody.
Well, didn't he try to go off into the woods by himself?
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't get out there.
Yeah.
Oh, you're trying to hide. Good luck.
He was like, oh, this is too much fun. No one will understand this. And I certainly don't want to waste my fucking time trying to explain it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, we'll just sit here and eat snails, which is nice. But, yeah, the suffering minions drew him in to give them, right, teachings, codified teachings. And that's what I think all the Buddhists conveniently forget. All they're doing is dabbling in the metabolic waste of the codified teachings of the Buddha naturally was happy to refuse. Right? So that's what they're doing, is messing around with the effluent, flotsam and jetsam. They forget that this is nothing at all. And they don't put mindfulness and retreats and meditation practice on a pedestal of some kind.
So it's like taking your poop out of the toilet and then taking it
through. Kind of like that, that's right. She's possessed, folks, she's possessed. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Is it kind of like picking your poop out, Jesus? Is it kind of like that? Yes, it's like that. They probably got to write that part down.
They probably did. Just edited it.
Yeah,
they edited it out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's her again.
What was that?
Did you just relieve Buddhism to poop? No, that's not going to work for us.
The first, whatever you call it. Who was that guy?
That guy.
Constantine.
Oh, yeah. Right. You mean the guy that created the religion.
Something where they took all the gospels and got rid of all the women's gospels.
Yeah. That's right. Right. Turned it into a tool of repression.
Well, it was too long.
Yeah, it was too long, yeah. And no one knew how to read anyway.
Yeah.
Here's a Bible. That's nice.
I only read, you know.
Yeah, really. Hey, wait a second.
Right. In those days, because you had a high-end copy of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another cool movie. It was an apocalyptic movie, and that same actor that flew the plane.
Denzel,
it was Denzel. Yeah, it was Denzel. It was an apocalypse movie, and Denzel was blind, though he was gifted at defending himself and killing squirrels and stuff and eating. And he had memorized the Bible.
He marches around through
apocalypse shit. Yeah.
Not the one from the Philadelphia where the people kicked
Pat. No, no, he's in a desert-esque.
No.
They shook hands.
No.
No. What's that one from?
Demon shake your hand.
No, no,
Annie, get
your
gun.
That's called like Angel or something. The other one, though.
I forget, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then a bunch of people were the cannibals, and you could tell that because their hands shook. So, like, if they wanted to know whether you were eating human flesh, you know, you'd have to put out your hands, and if your hands shook, you were cannibal. If not, you were cool. That was a fun movie. He remembered the Bible.
He carried it around, I thought,
He did carry it around, and the evil guys stole it from him, hoping, because they wanted to create a culture, because once they owned the book, they could create a culture just like the church did. They could redo that again, you know. So they were like dying to get their hands on this Bible, and they finally do, and they finally crack it open, and it was in Braille. It was in Braille, so they couldn't use it. But Denzel had remembered the book in his head, so he finally got to the safe space and recited it.
Yeah.
Recited it, and they wrote it down. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, no, don't do that.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. Yeah.
Just say, no, I don't remember shit.
I don't remember a thing about it.
Can I use your bathroom?
Exactly. I know. Well, it was fun. It was the innate hunger for coordinates, right? To give experiencing the myth the ruse of experiencing coordinates. So the Bible gives you coordinates, behavioral coordinates and historical coordinates, and worship coordinates.
Well, it gives you control, like in that setting, that was a meaning to
yes.
corral and otherwise
yes.
Completely out of
that's control. The hunger.
I was pondering why, like when you brought out the disappearance of the universe when we were at the house.
Oh, yeah.
The reason that book is so unbelievably dog-eared and with all sorts of things in it was because it gave me a coordinate system that I liked at the time.
Yes.
Quite desperate for it.
Well, yeah, that's right.
I was thrilled. I was like, finally, I got a coordinate system that really works for me. I like this.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Yeah.
Right until you find a coordinate you don't like, and you're like, oh my God, this is true.
Yeah. Well, see, this is
take your last stack and barrel and little that I know it's just crap.
When we look at the genesis of loyalty to coordinate systems, in this case, not just, you know, the Bible or the Pali canon or whatever, you know, we're looking at the coordinate system, the hunger for coordinate system that consciousness more or less demands of you.
Because we know where coordinates live. We'd better freaking find some clothes.
That's
we're sitting here naked.
That's
when we know it.
Yeah, you see,
that's the nowhere to stand kind of.
Yes. I mean, you know, an infant, even raised without, let's say, language, will create miraculously all kinds of brilliant coordinates and coordinate systems to place themselves
yeah, like
in the context
that,
of the tribe.
That kids, like, there's like American Sign Language or whatever, but then they make their own language.
Yeah,
you know?
They say
yeah.
twins in a family, like twins up to a
right.
certain age will have their own kind of language.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, so, I mean, this is incredible. I mean, what we're capable of doing through pattern and gesture and repetition is we can create languages and meaning and evoke and communicate meaning in miraculous ways, and you can't repress it. So you look at the engine, this incredible impersonal engine of consciousness seeking, insisting on coordinates.
Monster.
Right?
And copying
yeah.
other faces.
Yes.
Expressions.
Yes, that's right. Those are included. I mean, all
yeah.
of that, all of mimicry and imprinting is all included in the creation of coordinates for self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, as adults, not that any of us in this room are, you know, we're kind of re-looking at the geometry and the genesis of this incredible impulse, appetite for coordinates, for placing yourself in a context, whether within the herd, socially, tribally, or, you know, even ephemerally, etherically. You're still placing yourself even etherically. You know, I mean, let's have all channels in, you know, Bucks County get together and offer, you know, messages for a fee. That's an etheric, right, coordinate system. Yeah. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at this profound, right, habit, reflex of inhabiting, creating, cultivating, fomenting coordinates, which suggests the illusory continuity of self, the illusory continuity of individuation. Wow. And when we see how profound it is, how deep it is, how reflexive and impulsive it is, you're like, whoa. But we also possess, you could say, call it a quality of meta-intelligence, which is unperturbed by the movement of coordinate seeking and coordinate investment and can see itself doing it. So what is it about your, call it higher or innate intelligence, that can actually review how your own consciousness is functioning?
Well, you know, there is... more from a biological point of view, but mm-hmm. there was a book written called The Evolution of Consciousness and the Destruction of the Bicameral Mind.
Yeah, The Destruction of the Bicameral
you
Mind.
Know how the,
right, what fun.
Supposedly it didn't happen that long ago that the mind started to observe itself.
Yeah, sure, right. Yes, I mean, it's a very difficult anthropological treatise to defend. But Yeah, at least that research suggests. I mean, how, you know, I mean, if they were, if early hominids, you know, even Neanderthal or whatever, were making tools or creating circles and worshipping shit and da-da-da-da-da, then, you know.
You mean like this sort of awareness that you're, like, obsessing or something? Like that kind
of thing? The genesis of self-awareness.
Self-awareness.
Yeah.
That you're talking to yourself, yeah. About yourself.
Yeah, you're talking to yourself about yourself.
Sure. That's right. I think they use
the life coach.
They use, and they have a slightly different definition of consciousness.
Sure.
For them, it's self-awareness.
You're right.
I think that's
right.
Closer to that.
Self-awareness, yes.
So they think it's created via mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that from that point of view, you're looking at the genesis of, right, the biological system.
Yeah.
And the maturation or capacity of a neocortex to replace,
right,
older systems, and then foment, right, self-awareness.
It's so funny.
Right.
Like, who was it? Like, the Far Side or somebody used to, like, cartoons, and they were, like, cavemen.
I always enjoy that.
Right. Yeah, those are always funny.
It's
right?
Fun, yeah.
Yeah.
You just think of so many scenarios where you could, like, you know.
Right.
Integrate.
Well, the thrill and the, let's say, the far side or short-sightedness of a system that follows, let's say, a biological trajectory, right, continues to invest in and then, you know, sell the notion that present experience and the nature of it is consequential. Thus, it's, right, it's now at this point of an arc that began, right?
Yeah, but I don't know whether they can define or substantiate the concept of meaning.
No.
You know.
No. So. Yeah. I mean, it becomes you know, like any languaging and abstract thinking becomes self, right, yeah, self-fulfilling or self-loquacious. Yeah, because try leaving the system.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, leave the system. Where's the stairway?
Yeah, where's the portal?
Where's the portal? You know, show me the portal, I'll jump in. You can't leave the system, but there is no system. So there's nothing to leave. Because when we talking about what appears to be...
You can blame it.
Yeah, that's right. You can certainly blame it. You, by coming up as creatively as we're capable of coming up with symptoms and outcomes and causalities and genesises or genesi. Multiple genesises. Has to be genesi. Genesi in the headlights. Right, we're enjoying, we'll call it the, neuropathic delight of, call it abstract thinking, right? Stitching wondrous sensations together through language and mind to suggest a world that's made of stuff, that's consequential. And, wow. Wild. We get into trouble, we could say behaviorally, we get into trouble when that remarkable capacity for imagination, when we start believing it. Yeah. When we start.
You can fly and you jump off.
Well, I mean, that's an extreme case. I'm just talking about living the humdrumity of your crappy life. You're believing in, right, the remarkable powers that you possess to conjure an arc of a world that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and is consequential, and therefore you are the product of something other than yourself, and that came before you. And now you're fucked. Which means you might go to a high building and try to fly, just, you know, for the fun of it.
Because you believe
it can be done. That's why not. That's right. I mean, it's...
But you can have there are philosophies that are circular. There is no beginning.
They all are.
But you still have the same problem.
Yeah. You still have the same problem. That's right. Yep. That's the seeker's dilemma. The seeker's dilemma is remaining on the hamster wheel or the arc of apparent phenomena, apparent experiencing, individuated. So the seeker remains in that dipole, that so-called duality, for, you know, the long run, until they, one, starts to begin to witness the irrational nature of presence without consequence. That's how you slip out from under the influence of dreaming, the force of dreaming. Since this isn't anything, not made of anything, does not obey relativity and what relativity implies, then your present experience is what this is. Not individuated, not small, not consequential, not in any kind of a container. And if we're lucky enough to sense what is being referred to, that's the end of wanting.
When you go kaput, there's nobody here anymore.
Yeah. Yes. No. Nibbana and cessation. It's the cleansing of identification. You know, this is how or when realization is firsthand. you're not relying on someone other than yourself to feel this. There's nothing that's true. There's nothing that's false. Here this is.